Okay. Please welcome next to session presenters.
Hello, everyone. My name is Michael Shaver, and I work in the Intel Open Source Technology Center. And my primary job responsibility is the web infrastructure for our group, which includes Tizen.org and some other websites that we maintain as well. And then,
okay, thanks, Mike. I'm Dan Zhang from Samsung Electronics. We've been working together very closely for the making better experience to the user for the Tizen website. Anyway, enjoy it also.
Okay, so today I'm going to talk about Tizen.org. Some of it's going to be sort of an overview of some of the services that the infrastructure operates under, and then we'll talk about some of the additional features and roadmap that we're also developing, and then I'll kind of go over who's involved. Go ahead. So the first thing it seems kind of like an obvious question, but I think it's worth asking is why do we need all this infrastructure? And it doesn't seem like you have to kind of ask that question in order to get to better solutions for the community, I think. So one of the reasons is that we have quite a diverse audience that we're trying to target with the Tizen.org infrastructure. There's application developers, primarily, and there's platform developers, vendors. They all kind of have specialized needs, but those are sort of our primary targets for the websites and the infrastructure. And then there's the sort of the secondary audience that comes up as well. And even though there aren't any devices out there right now, once there are, you're going to have people that somehow discover Tizen, want to understand it a little bit more, so they might come kind of happen upon the website as well. And then there's just general press, bloggers, and other people that we're trying to accommodate. So through all of that, you're trying to, juggle sort of the focus for these websites so that people can find the information that they need right away and get to it quickly. Another reason why it's important is that we're just a growing number of developers throughout the world. I think we have around 15,000 registrations on the website now, and not all those people would be active necessarily, but there's still more and more developers coming to Tizen and registering and getting involved in the community. And another reason is that it's geographically dispersed group of developers and users. So this is actually a Google Analytics map of the current traffic to Tizen.org. And you can see that basically pretty much covers just about everywhere in the world. The blue kind of indicates the number of traffic going from those different locations. But you can see that it's got people coming from everywhere. So we have to accommodate language and different types of people that come to Tizen. And then the other reason is that a lot of people, this is going to be a new experience for them for Tizen. They don't know exactly what it is, so they're going to be learning about what it is and getting involved with it right away. So you have to kind of accommodate that. And then as well, a lot of people are new to HTML5, so you're kind of having to deal with newbies around that area as well. So that's kind of the reasons, why that's important. Now I'll kind of give you kind of an overview of the current infrastructure and just kind of lay out what each of the items are. A lot of it you're probably familiar with, but so I'll kind of go through it pretty quickly. So primarily there's the websites that run the Tizen.org, developer.tizen.org, and source.tizen.org, as well as a wiki. There's the Git and Garrett infrastructure for code development, OBS for packaging and for distribution, and Jira for bug tracking, and then the download server as well. I'll kind of go over each of those really quickly. So the websites are all run with the Drupal content management system behind them. Tizen.org's primary focus is, the main landing zone for Tizen. It gives you the overview information, but in general audience is sort of the target. Then developer is, .tizen.org is really geared towards application developers, and really focused on developing and creating apps. And then the source site is primarily for platform developers getting involved in the source code and how to contribute to the source code. The wiki is sort of an open-ended area within the services to allow you to, community to drive content within that area for the different teams or different interest groups around the community. We are, I think, going to be developing a little more of a plan around how to maintain that in a cohesive way. But I think right now it's basically community-driven, so you can log in, edit content, or add content if you need to. And then Jira, probably familiar with, this is where you'd go to report bugs or feature requests for Tizen. The current projects that we have are, mobile, IVI, Common, SDK, development tools, infrastructure, policies, and then web API. And I'm sure that this will grow over time and change a little bit, but those are the current ones. Get Garrett. I won't go into too much depth about these because there was a few other sessions that were dealing with these a little bit more. But essentially, they operate the code repositories for the platform. So you can go in and review code and vote on it and basically get involved on the code level. OBS is the platform for creating the distribution and packaging. It's mainly for the release engineering teams, so we don't give direct access to community members necessarily for this. Use the Git build system for that instead of direct OBS access. And then the download servers, we have the download.tizen.org, where you can get the latest packages and releases, as well as we just implemented a CDN infrastructure around the download server so you can get closer proximity to the downloads geographically around the world. This is done with an AWS account, so that helps us kind of limit bandwidth on a single server within our infrastructure. So, mailing lists, the current mailing lists are listed here, and I'm sure a lot of you guys are already subscribed to them. I think one thing that's a good thing to remember is that, mailing list posts are always public right away, and you can't delete them, and they're out there forever. So, be careful if you're talking about anything sensitive or anything that you can't get rid of it, basically. So, and then IRC, you can always connect to the developers on IRC, and there's also that's on the free pound Tizen on Freenode, and then there's also the IRC logs. If you go to tizen.org IRC logs, you can get past days of the IRC records. So, okay. So now I'm going to kind of go over some of the more detailed features for all the websites, and I'm primarily focused on the websites. So, you see, so Tizen.org provides the account management for all the services across Tizen. This is where all account updates should happen. It's where the initial creation of your account is also there. It has a LDAP backend, so that provides a service that we can use for all the different other services to connect to. It also allows us to easily control access to certain services if we need to, like OBS, for instance. It also has just general information about Tizen, so what is Tizen, some of the brand guidelines, those kind of things. It also talks about the community, all the different services like I'm going to list here, as well as how to contribute and what are the contribution guidelines for Tizen. Also has like the general blog announcements for the project itself. So any kind of major announcements will be posted on Tizen.org. And then it also handles all the events related to Tizen. So developer conference, all the information about the conference is there, including the schedule and all the details, and then future ones as well. And then it also has the general conferences where Tizen might have a small presence but isn't necessarily the Tizen developer conference. So all that's covered on Tizen.org. And there may be as well additional events that get added in terms of app labs and things like that. So, one of the things I mentioned is access requests. So on Tizen.org, you can also access an access request to these different services. It should be designated by your team that you need access to these services. Because, for instance, the OBS service is really geared for release engineers, so not everyone can get that access. So the developer site has a lot of information on it. It has the SDK downloads, the release notes, documentation, all pretty much focused on creating apps in both native and web, forms where you can get help creating apps, API references. It will also have the contest, the app challenges there, so you can get information about that and register for that. It also has a developer unit application, so you can, when certain companies want to distribute development units, they can put them in on the site, and you can apply for those on the developer site. And then there's also developer-focused blogs there as well. The forms are pretty self-explanatory. The current categories are, native and web, and then SDK and IDE, and then just a general support category. And you can also submit a question in another language, and there's a number of community managers in the different, geographies around the world that will answer those questions and respond to you as well. So that's available. So now I'm going to cover some of the specific features that we built out for Tizen for the infrastructure. So one of them that we spent a lot of time on was responsive design for the websites. I'm not sure how many people are familiar with responsive design, but essentially it's allowing you to repurpose your website for different device types with the same basic infrastructure around it. Using standard HTML and CSS media queries. So we basically came up with the design and then adapted those to the different devices to create a fluid responsive design. So if you go to the site with your mobile phone, you should be able to get to the schedule and view the schedule just fine. I think the next one, there were definitely some challenges to do that for the different sites. We were dealing with, three completely separate home pages that were pretty complicated that we needed to figure out how to do. We also had a mobile menu, so when you go down to the mobile view, you have a mobile menu that has to deal with multiple levels of navigation. So that was pretty complicated, and then we also wanted to make sure that we accommodated the content within the pages themselves, images, tables, and other elements within the content itself, to make sure that those were all responsive as well. So it's still ongoing. We're still kind of working out kinks, but this certainly, the site that it is now is fairly good in terms of being responsive. Another feature that we spent a lot of time on is the editorial workflow. On any of the sites, you can actually get to a description of the editorial workflow under Tizen/editorial workflow. And basically, this allows content to follow an editorial process so that it can be reviewed and edited and then published. It's all assignments based, so there's an author, reviewers, editors, and publishers in the whole process. Basically, the reason that we wanted to do this is that we wanted more people to contribute content to the developer site and source site, and then have the ability to have published versions of the content, and then be able to edit that content at the same time. That allows you to sort of put new content out there after a little while when things need to get refreshed. So basically, like I said, there's an author, reviewer, and editor, publisher role essentially that gets created, and each content has these assignments. So the author, is either the person that creates the content initially, or they can also be assigned the content by the publisher. So once the content's created and ready to be reviewed, the author moves it to the reviewer. And then the reviewer is primarily tasked with a technical review of the content and any editing around the technical nature of the content. So they should be the ones that are validating, whether the tutorial or the sample code or whatever works, and that it's functioning correctly, and all that kind of stuff. And then once they feel like it's ready, they can either, if they feel like it's ready, they can move it onto the editor. If they feel like the author still needs some work to be done, they can move it back to the author. But once they move it to the editor, the editor's main task is to, edit for language and grammar. Because we have, such a wide, diversity of people writing content, a lot of times it's not, English is not their native language, so the editor sort of ensures that the language is understandable, and so they basically edit for language and grammar at that point. And then the publisher does the final review on the content, and also is sometimes tasked with determining when in the sort of the publishing cycle, the time frame that it should be published. So if all a series of content needs to be published at the same time, they can do that. And then this can just repeat for additional steps as long as the content is around. So you can just kind of circle around through this either with new versions or additional content or fixes to the content anytime. Another thing that's available for the content, anyone in the assignments of the content, is that they can go to a My Content view. This is available under the My Account menu within any of the sites. And there you can find any content that you're assigned to in any of the roles. And then if you're assigned to a piece of content and it's also in the state that you need to act upon it, then you'll see that piece of content in orange as well as yellow sort of highlighted row. That allows you to sort of quickly see, okay, I need to act on this. I need to either write or review or edit that piece of content. Another thing that's available to anyone, not, regardless of whether you're in one of the assignments, is that you can provide feedback for any of the documentation within developer or source sites. So if you go down to the bottom of any of the content pages, you'll see a report of a problem. And it'll just open up a small form where you can submit a issue, and then that will go to anyone in the assignments, so to the author or the reviewers. So that way you can provide quick feedback on the content and allow them to make the changes if you find like an inaccuracy or just feel like something's not very clear. Another way that we wanted to aid authors is that we have a style guide basically for content. So you can go to this URL here, Tizen Styles, and it'll give you some general styles for the pages. Simple stuff right now. We're going to be adding some additional ones as well, but at least you'll get like the basics, headers, bullets, code, images, notes, links, buttons, stuff like that. And that's all available, so you can quickly grab the CSS class or the style that you need to apply to the pages. This way we can kind of ensure that, generally the content's going to be, consistent across all the different authors that are being created. That way, you don't get a site that looks like that many people actually contributed to it when it actually is the same. So, another thing that we're working on and we're going to be launching very soon is localized content. So, we're actually working with a translation management company called Lingotech. And that integrates with our Drupal content management system. And so first thing we're doing is we're translating all the interface for all the websites so that you can navigate through the entire site within a language. We have these six languages enabled or will be enabled shortly. So French, Spanish, Japanese, Korean, Chinese, and Russian initially. And then once that's enabled, then you'll be able to navigate through the sites in those languages, and then certain amounts of content will start to be translated. Now, this is not going to happen all at once. It's sort of an ongoing process, but it's certainly we have aims to translate as much as we can over the coming months. The workflow is pretty simple. Basically, once the content is authored, it gets pushed to the Lingotech service, and at that point, it's sort of held within their translation management system. And then it goes through a couple steps. It goes through machine translation and then our translation memory. And then at that point, it gets post-edited by professional translators. And then once that's done, it gets pulled back into the site as a translated piece of documentation or page. We also hope at some point to enable community translation so that instead of the professional post-editing, we would actually enable the community to jump in and help with some of the translation. So they would be able to basically see on the page a link that would open up a translation management interface that can help out with the translations. And then that would probably go to a reviewer at some point, so that we ensure that, content isn't being generated by spammers or something. But that would allow more people to help translate the content and get more of it translated more quickly. This is an image of the translation interface. You can see it's a pretty advanced system where you get each of the strings side by side, and it has help tools kind of around how to translate the content, and also gives you sort of the recommendations based on the machine translations as well. Okay. So here's a roadmap to some of the features that we're developing. So one of the things you probably noticed on the developer site is that the current dev guide is available, but it's all within what it's called the Eclipse Info Center framework. So essentially, it's the same documentation that you get when you download the SDK. And there are some limitations to that in terms of translation and searching and a lot of other things. So our plan is to actually get that natively in the website so that we can do all these other things. So that will mean importing the content into the Drupal content management system, and then we need to retain the structural navigation that's available there. And then all those pages will then get the editorial workflow behind them. And then we can also localize all that content so it'll be available in all the languages. But then the last step is that we have to allow for all that content to be exported in a certain way so that it can then be packaged with additional SDK releases going forward. So we still, when you still download the SDK in the future, you're still going to get a packaged set of documentation with that SDK. But the source of that content will be generally from the website versus sort of hand done on the side. Another thing that we're going to be doing around the developer site is improving the documentation landing page and basic navigation around some of the documentation. So right now you go to the documentation on the developer site and you basically just get a dump of all the articles that are available within the document within the developer site. So we're going to, you know, enhance that view so that, you know, you get a little more targeted, content, some highlighted content, some, you know, the content that's, you know, most used or most relevant or most popular within that developer site. That way you can really get a sense of how, what's most relevant, what's new, things like that. Another thing that we're going to be doing is content staging. This is a little bit behind the scenes, but it allows collections of content to be published and previewed all at once. So that way, if there are large changes to a set of documentation or to even at the announcement level, like on the home pages and stuff, you can preview all that content prior to it launching. So it essentially like lets you look at the site as if it was in a future date, in a future state, basically. And then you can just publish that all at once, either by date or by, you know, a collection or something like that. So it's going to make it more flexible for the administrators around Tizen to essentially preview what is coming up in the future, basically. Another thing we want to do is enable more advanced search across the infrastructure. So that would be, you know, integrated search between all the sites, and then a nice way to basically navigate all that so that it's understandable where things are coming from. We'll probably use the Apache Solr module for that. It's a nice way to index and aggregate all that data. And then we can use Drupal to sift through that and display it in a way that's digestible. Another thing that we're working on, and is still, we have actually some prototype code that's available, but we're going to display the W3C and Tizen API support. So this will be at the attribute level for all the APIs, for all the web APIs, so that you can see exactly what are the attributes and methods and functions that are supported. So this is just an example of the battery status API, but this will show all of the web APIs from Tizen to WC3. Another thing that we need to do is to accommodate additional device types within Tizen. So right now you probably notice it's primarily focused on the mobile space, and so we need to probably re-architect a little bit of it to accommodate TV, IVI, PC, other things, so that it's easy to sort of go to where your interest is in those areas, which may mean, you know, redesigning some of the release areas, downloads, promotion, forms. I'm not really sure yet exactly, but this is something that, you know, we definitely have kind of on our horizon that we need to start thinking about and designing for. And then, you know, we're looking for additional features from the community. You know, what is working, what isn't, what are you using, what's missing, and all those can be submitted to the bug, the Jira instance for Tizen. And there's a web infrastructure or Tizen infrastructure project, and then there's a website component to that, so you can submit an issue, and we can look at it for future features. And then quickly, I should go through over like who's involved. So there's a large community team that's involved from Intel and Samsung primarily. There's been some other people as well involved on the Linux Foundation side. And so this is a growing list of people that are involved in this. And then on the development side, we contract with an agency called Lullabot for the development of the code behind the websites, and then the design was done by Claire Alexander, and then ongoing design work has been Cyrene Demagala. So I think that's it. Any questions? Kind of went over that pretty quick. But. All right. Enjoy your afternoon.